as we work through this letter to the church in Philippi, the book of Philippians, we're going to discover more and more about the heart of Paul, the apostle. This Paul who undergoes a total transformation. Paul has had this meteoric rise to fame. He had been a persecutor of the church. Anybody who had anything to do with the way, with Jesus, Paul was out to get them. In whatever way he could. And then he meets with the risen Christ. And as he is to say later on, he's a new creation. Not just slightly changed, not just mellowed with old age, but this Paul is a new creation, totally, totally transformed. And I think sometimes we struggle to understand how massive that change was. And the only comparison I think I can make is if you can imagine a radical Muslim militant changing totally. To become one who sings a song, "All for Jesus, all I am and have." That's the change in Paul. Total. A new creation. And now he proclaims the good news of this gospel. Now he speaks of the good news of this Jesus Christ with great effectiveness. Churches are started. Churches grow underneath him. But it's not without its problems. As you read through the Acts of the Apostles, as you read through Paul's letters, you discover that he had problems. He's run out of town on many occasions. He ends up being at the very center of riots and civil disturbances that his preaching has caused, and others have started to try and get rid of this troublesome Paul. He's beaten. He has to be sneaked out of town by passing him out of a window and sneaking him out in case the mob catch him. He's falsely arrested. He's almost flogged. He's shipwrecked. He's imprisoned. Life is not easy, Paul. And then he's far from where he wants to be. As he writes this letter to the church in Philippi, he's in chains. He's in chains in Rome. And we would look at that situation and we would say, well, that's it for Paul. Great ministry, Paul. You've done wonderful things for the church, but it's over. You're in chains. You're far from where you want to be. But not Paul. Not Paul. If you have Philippians chapter 1 open, look at verse 12, that very first verse that Tom read for us. Remember, this man's in chains. Now I want you to know that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Yes, there were great things happening. Churches were being started and growing and all the rest of it. And yes, now I'm somewhere I didn't really plan to be and I'm chained up. But I want you to know that what has happened serves the gospel. Amazing thing to say. How can he say it? Well, he gives two reasons. He says, one is I get the opportunity to speak to all the palace guards. These soldiers who guard me 24/7, I get an opportunity to speak to them about Jesus. And also, our brothers and sisters in Christ are encouraged in their lives and in their witness. Paul says, yes, it's not where I plan to be. It's not where I want to be, but the gospel still advances. There are echoes of another story. Another story long before Paul is on the scene. A story of a young man who is terribly spoiled by his father. So spoiled by his father that his brothers become insanely jealous. And they decide, we've got to get rid of him. And he ends up being sold into slavery. Joseph finds his way down into Egypt as a slave. He becomes a very trusted servant in a household in Egypt. But even there, things don't go right. He's falsely accused there. And Joseph ends up in prison. Not where he wanted to be. Through a whole series of events, Joseph then ends up being out of prison interpreting dreams for Pharaoh. And Pharaoh is so impressed with this man that he actually puts him in charge of much of the kingdom. He's in charge of a whole famine relief program in Egypt. And there his brothers come to him. They don't know who Joseph is. His brothers come and they look for food. The famine has struck them. And then they realize who Joseph is. And they're terrified. Because Joseph is obviously going to be out for revenge. Look what we did to him. Joseph's going to want to get his own back. But listen to Joseph's reply. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. You intended to harm, God intended it for good. That's how Joseph makes sense of his life. You intended it for harm. God intended it for good. It's how Joseph made sense of his life. It's also how Paul made sense of what seemed to him to be so unfair that he now ends up in a prison in Rome instead of where he wants to be. It was intended for harm. God used it for good, the saving of many lives. You don't need me to tell you that there are times when our plans and ambitions seem to be thwarted. Things that we had decided, we had laid out our path, we had laid out our road ahead. And for whatever reason, it hasn't worked out. We're not in the place that we wanted to be. We're not even in the place that we thought we should be. And I'm not just speaking geographically, although sometimes that may be the case. Never wanted to live here, never wanted to work here, and we have all this thing about I'm not in the right place. Maybe we're not in the right place or the place we thought we should be in terms of our career. I had other plans. I had other dreams, other ambitions, but it hasn't worked out, and here I am. Maybe it's to do with finances. We just find ourselves in a situation that we would never choose, a situation that we would never want to be in, and yet that's the reality. That's where we are. That's the place we're in. Maybe it's to do with our health. We'd always thought we were untouchable. And suddenly we find ourselves in a situation that we never planned, never wanted to be in, and yet that's where we are. Maybe we've lost a loved one. Not something that we wanted. Not something that we would choose. But that's the place where we find ourselves. It may be that you feel that others have set out to harm you. But all of us, in one way or another, will find ourselves in a place that was not of our choosing. Not where we wanted to be. Not where we thought we should be. So Joseph discovered the truth. We thought it was meant for harm, but God intended it for good. Paul is later to express it in a different way. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. In all things. Not just the good things. Not just the comfortable things. Not just the desirable things. But in all things. God works for good for those who love him. Even being unjustly accused. Even ending up in prison like Joseph and later on Paul. Joseph and Paul discovered the truth that no matter what circumstances you're in, Whether they're of your choosing or not, no matter what circumstances you're in, God is still at work in you and through you. And so Paul, even in his situation, can look forward with confidence. Because God's at work. Others may have meant it for harm, but God intended it for good. God is still at work. God is not finished with you. Gordy spent some time last Sunday just looking at that promise that God will bring to completion the work that he's already started in us. It doesn't depend on our circumstances. It depends on the faithfulness of God. So Joseph and Paul can both look at their circumstances, realize it's not really where they would want to be, but know that God is not finished with them, and they can look forward with confidence. What about us? Do our circumstances just push us down so we have no hope? Or in our circumstances, do we lift our eyes to Jesus? This Jesus, all for Jesus. All my ambitions, dreams, and plans. Is this the Jesus that we turn to in our circumstances? The Jesus who is not finished with us. The Jesus who will bring to completion everything that he has begun in us. We can look forward with confidence because of the faithfulness of God in Jesus Christ. Paul, as he languished in jail, knew it was very possible, perhaps even very likely, that he would be executed in Rome. And yet he still looks forward with confidence. How come? How come, Paul, you know what is round the corner and you still have this confidence to look forward? Well, it's based on the story of another man. Another man wrongly accused. Another man suffering death at the hands of wicked people. They meant it for harm. But when Jesus rose again, it was clear that God meant it for good, for the saving of many lives. How can Paul look forward even when he knows what's around the corner? Because of Jesus, who died and rose again. So Paul can face either life or death with confidence, with unshakable hope. It's amazing. Because of Jesus. Paul says, there's work I can do if I'm left, but if I die, I'll be with Jesus, which is better by far. Because Jesus is the living Savior, Paul and you and I can face life, whatever our situation is. Jesus doesn't change because of your situation or my situation. He's still the Savior. He's still alive. He's still at work in you. And we can face life, as the old song says, he walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. Paul knows he has a risen Savior. And because Jesus has won the victory over the grave, taken the very sting out of death, not even death can daunt Paul. Not even death. It's not a death wish, but it's simply a recognition that to be with Jesus is, as he says, better by far. Better by far. Just during the week, I heard a wonderful story of a missionary couple who had given a lifetime of service in Africa. They had got to the stage where they wanted to retire and head back home to America, and at that stage, some time ago, the only way to go was to sail back across into New York. And so they got onto their ship, and they spent that time heading back into New York, obviously just waiting to see home, waiting to see family. As the ship came into berth, all along the side of the quay, There's a band. There are people waving flags. There's banners out. Everything is there to celebrate a return. And they stand on the deck, and their hearts are just filled with joy. It's great to be welcomed here. It's great to be welcomed home. And then as they watched, and the ship is tied up, another gangway opens up further down the ship, and out comes the president of the USA. Not the present one, don't think, but way back then. And the band strikes up, and the people wave their flags, and the banners are there. And our missionary couple walk off their gangplank, and there's no one there to see them. No one there to meet them. And you can imagine their shoulders going down. You can imagine their sadness. And they wrote, "We heard God say very clearly, but you're not home yet. You're not home yet. To be with Jesus, which is better by far." So are you looking forward? Not hopefully or wishfully, but are you looking forward with confidence to whatever lies ahead? To whatever life brings to you? Are you looking forward? You can. You can because Jesus died for you. Jesus rose again for you. Jesus is your living Savior. Jesus is the one who will hold your hand when you trust Him. Let's together look forward with confidence, not in ourselves, not in our circumstances, but in our faithful Savior. Shall we pray together? Lord, you know our circumstances, and you care for us, and you love us beyond measure. Forgive us, Lord, when we lose sight of you, and lift our eyes, we pray, so that we too may sing, not just with our lips, but with our hearts, "Jesus, all for Jesus, all I am and have, and ever wish to be." And then, Lord, help us to step forward with confidence. And we pray this in the strong name of our risen and living Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As our children head out for Sunday school, we're going to stand together and sing this wonderful hymn that points us back again to Jesus. "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." Let's stand together and sing.